Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Unity Center of Light. I'm April May, and today is April the 23rd, the day after Earth Day. And we want to welcome you to Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop and fully express their spirit, mind, and body. So today we have a very special treat to have Laura Bennett with us again today. She stepped into the breach for us because Butch had to go away for a memorial service, and we are blessed to have her. So what I would like to do this morning to start us off is to share our mission and foundation statements. Somehow or another, I got us all the way to the end instead of at the beginning, but here we are. So please join me as we affirm together the mission and foundation statements of Unity Center of Light. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine identity. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And our foundation statement, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. And now what I'd like to do is invite Brenna to share our daily word with us for today.
Good morning, church family. The daily word for today is pray for others. As I pray, I affirm the activity of God in your life and mine. I am honored by the trust of those who ask me to pray with them. Whatever I am asked to pray about, my responsibility is always the same: to recognize all qualities of God are active, even in the most challenging circumstances. I remain steadfast, affirming this truth. If I have been asked to pray for healing, I release all thoughts of illness. I affirm divine life is active in every cell. I see harmony and perfect function restored. If I am praying for abundance, I entertain no thought of lack. I affirm divine wisdom, love, and understanding, guiding the ones with whom I pray to make wise, prospering choices. I affirm this truth for all who have asked for prayer. My awareness of God's activity in my life increases also. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health, just as it is well with your soul. John chapter 3, verse 1-2.
Thank you, Brenna. So it is my great good pleasure this morning to introduce to you guys someone who is probably already familiar to all of us because she's visited with us the last year or so a few times. And like I said earlier, was willing, available, and more than willing to step in for today for our own minister. And I just want to say that Laura's been a Bible teacher and a mentor for me for many years and for many other Unity students as well. And I'm not going to tell you more of her life story because it's a part of everything that she does. And I know she'll share more with you as well. But please join me in welcoming her with a very heartfelt appreciation, Reverend Laura Barrett Bennett.
Thank you. Thank you, April. Wow. What a gift. What a joy it is. And unexpected. It's like another, well, I had a birthday this past week, so it's like another birthday present for me to be with you here this morning and a very, very special treat. And I thank those of you, Patty and Brenna, who are helping out with the service. Anybody else helping out with the service, with making this possible? And my heart, my thoughts, my prayers are with Butch and his family and in Denver as they move through the experience of having that final not a goodbye, but that final acknowledgement that this is a soul that has moved on and is moving into the light. And as they remember, I understand, how long was the service? It was long. So
2 hours and 45 minutes.
2 hours and 45 minutes. And what's the name of the person?
The person that passed is Joseph Langley. He's Kobe's father, and Kobe is Butch's son-in-law.
Okay. All right. So Butch's son-in-law's father, and it is all in the family, passed away and apparently touched a lot of lives, because this was a service where a lot of people had good things to say. I am sure. So one of the things my husband and I do, I have an online ministry now, and you see the URLs up there. One of the things we do is a podcast. So you'll see the URL for that. We did an Earth Day podcast with Mike McCord, who is one of the co-founders of the Unity Worldwide Ministries Earth Care team. Because I, you know, as much as I love and know the earth, when it comes to Earth Day and to the practical information, that Mike McCord was the person I turned to. And they do have a web page at unityworldwideministries.org, if you go under ministries and look up Earth Care. Anyway, I got to experience a little bit of nature this past week, because Larry and I have this favorite place about an hour from here in the Kansas countryside, where, believe it or not, there are beautiful rolling hills, and it's called Cedar Crest. It's up on probably the highest hill in the area, so you can actually look out over the rest of the countryside. We had just a beautiful time. It's a place of nature. It's a place of now the gourmet food and luxury accommodations and hot tubs and of course, you know, I went for the nature of it. And it was just lovely. And I remember the sunset, the eve of my birthday, watching the sunset and just having this amazing experience. How many of you have had an amazing experience at sunrise or sunset? So I got up the next morning to watch the sunrise too, especially after that sunset experience. But just having this amazing experience, the clouds were starting to roll in. These are the clouds that formed in the storms east of us, but they were starting to come in. So the sunlight was catching the clouds, and the sun was coming through this haze, and it had this glorious effect of, you could see the sun, and you could look directly at it for just a few seconds at a time. And it was like this great ball, this great orange ball, and it was lighting up everything. And I got a real sense of our cosmic relationship to this nearest star that we have. You get a real sense of, well, there it is, just off the horizon of the Earth, you know, a few million miles away. But it's the thing that gives life to everything that we have on Earth. I mean, it's just like, there it is. And I could see why the ancients looked at it as a god. But what I got was a sense of, how can I say it? A sense that we, of our cosmic connection to all things. And that because the universe is exactly the way it is, we're here. And spiritually speaking, you might say, because God wanted to know God, here we are. You know, a whole universe came into being. And in that moment, you know, everything was so quiet. Now, I won't say it was absolutely still, because I heard the geese in the distance. We were near a wilderness or a wildlife refuge, and you could see the sun reflecting off the lakes in the distance. And you could hear the geese. And then when the geese quieted down, as it got a little, as the sun set a little lower and a little lower, the last song of the evening was a meadowlark in the tree to my right. And as I listened to that song, it was as though the whole universe was speaking to me through the voice of that meadowlark. And just this profound stillness came over me, and I could feel a connection with all things. Now, I am absolutely sure that I'm not the only one who's had experiences like that. That's part of why we're here together. We're remembering and honoring our connection to all things and with each other. And in that moment, I truly felt, wow, just total stillness. And then when the thoughts did return to my mind, I thought, I am in my domain. I am in my domain. Now, let me share with you a little bit about what a domain is, because it has something to do with what we're talking about today. You are in your domain when you are experiencing the spiritual connecting with the worldly, merging with the worldly. In other words, when the cosmic mind unifies with the human experience, and then you have the manifestation of that experience in the world, you are in your domain. That's what it is to be in your domain. Now, why am I using the language of domain? Well, it's biblical. It's biblical. It goes back to that beautiful creation story in the first chapter of Genesis. Oh gosh, let me read a little bit of that. I'm gonna pull a page up. This is not an intended advertisement, but I am using my book a little bit today. It just happened to have some relevant material to what we're looking at. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." Now, what was it? What is that? What does that mean? Well, I remember a song that we used to sing, and I just brought a copy of it just as a show and tell. I remember a song that we used to sing out of Wings of Song, which is the old hymnal of Unity, one of its old hymnals. And we used to sing it in my first ministry in Flint, Michigan. You know, it was all things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small. And that's what inspired the title of this talk. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small. All things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. And I remember that from the Psalms. Now, when I looked up the Psalm, what'd I do? Oh, there it is. When I looked up the Psalm and the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible, it didn't say that. It didn't say all things bright and beautiful. That's the King James version. King James is very poetic in his work. But what it said, Psalm 104, verse 25. Let's see if I can find it. Oh, verse 24. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom, you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. So in wisdom, you have created them all. All of these things point to when that which is divine and universal takes manifest form on the earth. And we are one of those forms. So when we have that experience of the universal touching and communing with our human experience, we are in our domain and wisdom is present. Whether it's all things wise and wonderful or the wisdom of God. I have a little frog in my throat. And to be in your domain is what it means to have dominion. I'll read a little bit more from my book. When it comes to dominion, a large portion of humanity has had the tendency to think that it is our God-given birthright to dominate, control, exploit, and manipulate our environment and relationships. Is this, however, what dominion really means? And so I really did a little deeper exploring into these ancient stories and the Hebrew language. And I found three things that really indicate that we have a spiritual dominion in life. And one is that you are godlike, that we are godlike. And what I mean by godlike, I don't mean, you know, we are totally one with God, of course. But what I mean by godlike is we are made in the image and likeness of all of it, of the divine. This is a unique thing in the Hebrew scripture, because what the ancient cultures used to do was they used to give this kind of acknowledgement and dominion to the king, to the ruler. It was the king, whether it's Pharaoh or the emperor, or it was the ruler who was made in the image and likeness of God, who was the son of God, and who had dominion or rule over that particular kingdom or empire. But what the Hebrew scripture did was it gave this God likeness to whom? To all of us, to you, to me, to everyone. This is a very important thing, because this is the key that distinguishes unity from a lot of other biblically based spiritual paths. They're beautiful in and of themselves, and they have a sense that we were born in sin and that we need redemption and so forth. Where unity goes with this is we were created in the image and likeness of God. We are God-like because we are God in expression on this planet. And when we recognize that, we are in our domain. We are given dominion. So to have dominion means to be God-like. But that's also, that doesn't mean, again, we can lord it over, so to speak, our planet and do with it whatever we want to do because it feels good or suits our purposes at the time. To be godlike is to see the world the way the divine sees it, is to be the eyes of the divine looking at the world. And what is that? How does the divine see it? It says it a little later in that same chapter of Genesis. And God, what? Saw everything that had been made, and behold, it was what? Very good. That is to see with the eyes of the divine. It's to see the good. My grandmother was a Unity minister. I'm a third generation, for those of you who don't I don't know if you knew that or remember that from previously. I have talked about my grandmother, I think, before with this group. My grandmother was the founding minister of Unity of Fairfax in Virginia. And she had a little house in Virginia, which now my brother-in-law lives in because it was my sister's house. And she used to go out. She grew an organic garden. Now, this was before Earth Day. This was before Earth Day. Little footnote here. My grandmother passed away in January of 1970. She also had ovarian cancer. And she passed away in January of 1970. That is the year that Earth Day started. That's the year that Earth Day began. And Earth Day, the date chosen for Earth Day was my grandmother's birthday, April 22nd. So it was like a cosmic tribute to her love of life and unity and things of nature. So she had an organic garden in the backyard, and she would go out into the woods to find dirt for it. And where she would find that dirt is under a fallen tree that was decaying and rotting. And she would find some of them. She said, this is where some of the most fertile ground is. And she would fill a little bucket full of that and come back from the woods and put it in her garden. And she just had a small garden of a few corn stalks and tomato plants and some potatoes and sweet potatoes. And they were delicious. She always grew a wonderful garden from that earth. Now, what she saw in the death and decay of the tree was the goodness of the fertile ground that had been created. If we look at life, if we look at the times we've experienced great loss or any death or destruction or decay, if we look at it over time, if we are able to be with whatever it is we are feeling, then we can dig in and we can find the richness, the beauty of the memories that we have, of the things that we've learned from a particular relationship, of the things of the strength that we have to rebuild and renew. We can find that good earth, even from destructive situations. So to be godlike is to see the good in what has been created. The second thing is to have dominion. Oh, let me think. This is why I have notes. The second thing to have dominion is to be a good steward. To be a good steward. I'll read a little bit here. Let's see if I can. Yeah, there it is. All right. So we are given rule like the kings of old through our image and likeness. But it says this kind of rule is not the rule of the human ego that sees the world and creation as something to fear, conquer, and dominate. It is the godlike rule that sees the world the way God sees it. Regarding the dominion given to humankind in the first chapter of Genesis, the Jewish Study Bible says, some have seen in that commission a license for ecological irresponsibility. Elsewhere, however, the Tanakh presents, and the Tanakh is the Hebrew scripture, the Tanakh presents humanity not as the owner of nature, but as its steward, strictly accountable to the true owner. So the real spirit of humanity's relationship to all of it is a divine stewardship, as the image and likeness, as having that dominion and domain. It is ours to be divine stewards. My grandmother was a steward wherever she could be. She loved animals. And that's, I think, where I got my love for animals. Loved, loved, loved animals. And because of my grandmother and my upbringing in Unity, I am vegetarian now. But I used to be very self-righteous vegetarian, you know. I used to like cringe if my food had touched something that had touched meat, you know, but not so much anymore. I understand that people draw the line where they need to for their well-being. And if they are in touch with the cosmic mind in their human experience, then they will make the right choices for them. But to be a steward is to do what we can, where we can, to honor and respect the life that is around us, all of it, all of the life that is around us. If it's green, or if it has four legs, or if it has fur or feathers or scales or whatever it is, it's to respect the life that is around us. My grandmother pulled into a construction site once in our neighborhood. I was with her at the time because she just kind of sensed, you know, she wanted to go say hello to the new neighbors as they were building their house. And what she found was that one of the trees that they had cut down had a squirrel in it, and the squirrel had been badly hurt from the fall, and the gentleman, which is what most of us would do, was going to put the squirrel out of its misery and finish the job. But my grandmother took this squirrel and they put it in a box, and she brought it back into the car. And when she brought it back into the car, it was laying there with blood coming out of its mouth and its ear. And believe it or not, over some weeks, she nursed it back to health. She fed it oatmeal through an eyedropper, and she would crunch up nuts to, you know, and moisten them and feed it. And that squirrel became a family pet for a little while. And when it crawled on us, it tickled. So we named it Tickletail. And Tickletail eventually heard the call of the wild and took off. And when he did, my grandmother said, yes, it's time. It's time to let him go. But what does it mean to be a good steward? What does it mean to be a good steward? It means to actually have such a sense of connection with all things, but to focus in on one thing we can do. One thing to preserve or improve the quality of life for the life that is around us. It might be to save a squirrel from a fallen tree. It might be to contribute to a wildlife fund. I don't know about you, but it is wildlife. It is the deer, the hawks, the birds around us. It is wildlife. When I see it on programs like Nature on PBS, it is wildlife that really, really works as a healing place for my soul. Because it gets me in touch with that full beauty and even somewhat wildness of spirit. So to be a good steward, I'm going to talk about being a good steward. We can be a good steward of the green that grows. We can be a good steward of our oceans by helping to clean up the planet, which also helps wildlife. We can be a good steward of working to save endangered species. I know, because there is an Earth Day, that today I can look up at a blue sky, not smog covered, but a blue sky, and watch the flight of a bald eagle here in Kansas. I can do it in Virginia. It used to be you could hardly find a bald eagle anywhere, but you can now, because enough people did just a little bit to help. And that is what we can do in being good stewards. Finally, The third thing in being a good steward is just to be. Now, what does that mean, just to be? It means to let yourself be still long enough to feel that oneness, that one connection. I said in being a good steward, but the final thing in having dominion is to just be, so that you feel that connection, that oneness, that stillness with all things. The next morning, I took a walk at sunrise after that experience of the sunset. And because we were on the crest of a hill, you could see east and west. And in the sunrise, there was a mist over all the lakes in the area. And of course, the light of the sun was turning any misty area pink. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful sunrise. I saw the deer in the field below the garden. I heard the birds as they started with one voice and then more as the whole earth was waking up. And I experienced just this moment of pure being, just pure being, just as I did the night before. To really have true dominion, to be in the domain of this life that I could say was given to us by the Creator, but that we were created into. You were created into the exact life. You were put in the exact place where you are. And to feel your sense of unity with all that is, to be in your domain is to be a good steward. And it is to see the world with the eyes of God. And it is to be still and know that I am God. When you are still, every bird, every voice says to you, I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And when you are still, you come to know that you are created in that image and that likeness. So we're going to be still for a couple of moments. And I'm going to invite you into perhaps a memory of such a place, or however your heart creates it right now. I invite you to take a deep breath, to close your eyes, to go into a moment. It could be the memory of a sunrise or a sunset, the memory of connecting with a loved one, the memory of experiencing something in nature, the memory of a beloved pet, the memory of something in life where God shows up to remind you of who you are. Bring that memory to your mind right now. See whatever it is before you, whether it is the sun or a beautiful creature, or a fellow human being, or a garden, or a tree. Whatever it may be, hear that being saying to you, be still and know that I am God. Once again, take a deep breath. Feel your conscious awareness. Returning to this moment. And when you are ready, open your eyes. April is the month of wisdom on the Unity calendar, the month that honors the power of wisdom. And wisdom is when the cosmic mind communes with the human soul and good is brought into manifestation. That's when you have wisdom. So if you're in a dilemma about anything in your life and you just don't know what to do, take time to connect with all of it, with the cosmic mind. Charles Fillmore used to pray, in the name and through the power of Jesus Christ. We kept up that tradition at Unity Village for many years when I taught there. We would start every week with a prayer where we would say, I dedicate and consecrate myself to the will and the work of Jesus Christ. Now, why would we do this? Because, as Charles Fillmore said, when you pray in the name through the power of Jesus Christ, you are praying in the consciousness of Jesus Christ. And what is that consciousness? It is where the cosmic, the divine, the universal, that we call the Christ meets the human that we call Jesus. And our consciousness of Jesus Christ is where the cosmic, the universal, meets our humanity. And so to dedicate in the name, or whatever name it is you use for the cosmic and the divine that meets your humanity, whatever name you use for that, when you do, you are in a place, you are in your domain. And where you are in your domain, there is wisdom. And you can choose from that space and that place. Thanks for letting me speak to you today. God bless.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you so very much. We are blessed.
Thank you. I am blessed, very much so.